Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. This is God's word. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. From the fruit of his lips a man enjoys good things, but the unfaithful have a craving for violence. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. The righteous hate what is false, but the wicked bring shame and disgrace. Righteousness guards the man of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. One man pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. A man's riches may ransom his life, but a poor man hears no threat. The light of the righteous shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out. Pride only brings quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. He who scorns instruction will pay for it, but he who respects a command is rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. Good understanding wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Every prudent man acts out of knowledge, but a fool exposes his folly. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. He who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but fools detest turning from evil. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Misfortune pursues the sinner, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. A poor man's field may produce abundant food, but injustice sweeps it away. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. The righteous eat to their heart's content, but the stomach of the wicked goes hungry. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, my goodness, that chapter has quite a range of subjects within it, and a lot of individual sayings that are important for us to consider. I want to suggest to you there are a number that we could have pulled out to be sort of the choice for the overarching theme. But given the fact that several of them have to do with heeding counsel, receiving discipline, walking in wisdom, I'm going to suggest that verse 20, chapter 13, verse 20, be kind of our key verse for this chapter, if you want something to hang the rest of it on. The title is Walk with the Wise. Walk with the Wise. Well, a wise person is a person who lives a particular way. They live in light of God's word. They live in light of the truth. And so to walk with the wise not only means hanging out with people who are wise, but it means walking along the path of life, living in the way that they live. You want to get used to doing things the right way. If you get used to doing things the right way, it has a tendency to continue. You actually become characterized by wisdom. And the fact is, you'll actually be in a position to bless others and help them. Because if they spend time with you and you're doing the right thing, increasingly you become the one who's leading. You become the one who is setting the tone. You set the pace. We want to walk with the wise. We want to walk in wisdom. We want to live in accordance with God's word. That said, look again at the first verse. A wise son heeds his father's instruction. To heed the instruction means listen to and obey. If I heed the speed limit, it means that I obey the speed limit. It doesn't just mean I know what it is. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. In other words, a mocker not only doesn't obey, but when he's rebuked for not obeying, he doesn't even listen to that. He's bent on doing his own thing. He's bent on doing what he feels like doing in the moment. So you've got a contrast here, again, between wisdom and foolishness or folly. And the mocker is one who thinks that wisdom is foolish. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. The mocker, the fool, thinks that doing the right thing is stupid. Well, I'm not going to do that. Well, I'm sorry, but who's the real dummy? If you look at what happens, wisdom protects you from disaster. Foolishness guarantees disaster. So, a wise son heeds his father's instruction. A mocker doesn't even listen to rebuke. From the fruit of his lips, a man enjoys good things, but the unfaithful have a craving for violence. So you can actually, by learning to say what is right and true and good, you can actually make your life better. This isn't because it's magic. This isn't because you are speaking things into being. It's simply because you are agreeing with God, which is what wisdom, again, is all about. It's God's perspective on things. Verse 3, he who guards his lips guards his life. But he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. What does it mean to speak rashly? To speak carelessly, to speak without thinking, to say things that are unhelpful. Think before you speak. The sluggard, you remember what a sluggard is? A sluggard is a person who's lazy. So the sluggard craves and gets nothing. But the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Diligence is hard work with attention to detail. You got to have both of those qualities in order for it to be diligence. And the desires of the diligent, fully satisfied. So you ought to hang out with some diligent people. You ought to watch the way they work and you ought to become helpful. Say, what can I do to help? If you will spend time with wise people and walk as they walk, do you know what will happen? you'll become wise.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand.
Verse 5. The righteous hate what is false, but the wicked bring shame and disgrace. The righteous hate what is false. We've talked about this before. We live in a culture where people who say they believe the Bible are being taught we're not supposed to hate anything. I'm not talking about hating people, but we live in a culture where if you disapprove of something, you may be called a hater. And that's about as nasty a word as you can use today. Haters are going to hate. Well, let me tell you something. There are some things you ought to hate. There are some things you ought to despise. And this says that a real good barometer of whether or not something should be hated is whether or not it's false. The righteous hate what is false. Please understand we're living in a culture that is full of misinformation. Lies everywhere. We ought to hate what's false. We ought to hate lies. We ought to hate deception. Because God does. So the righteous hate what is false, but the wicked bring shame and disgrace. Righteousness guards the man of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. If you do the right thing, you'll be kept safe. If you're doing the wrong thing, it will lead to your overthrow. It will lead to destruction. Jump over to verse 8. A man's riches may ransom his life, but a poor man hears no threat. What does that mean? Well, I saw a sign on a street in Atlanta that said the safest place in Atlanta for your valuables. And it was this building that was designed to look like a fortress where you could put stuff and these folks would guard it for you. Just help me understand here. What is the great pleasure in having stuff that you have to keep locked away somewhere? I've known people who had jewels that were so valuable, they had fake ones made to look like the real ones because when they went places, they didn't dare wear the real ones because they might get stolen. So they wore fake jewels that were expensive fakes. These were good fakes, but they wore fake jewels designed to be a copy of their real jewels. Now, I'm thinking there's just, you know, a different value system there. If you can't wear the real jewels because they might get stolen, why do you want to have them? I can't wear them in public. When I go out in public, I have to wear the paste. That's what it's called. I wear the paste. Well, the paste looks good enough to pass for the real. So why don't you just have the paste, sell the real, feed the poor, and get on with life? Okay? Folks, we live in a world that is filled with people who don't understand what's really valuable. And what this verse reminds us is that while if you're really rich, you may be able to pay the ransom to save your life.
You understand?
If you were poor, a poor man here's kidnapping you. When you're a poor man walking down the street, they don't come up and say, I want your, oh, never mind, I don't want your watch. Give me, oh, well, no, never mind. The light of the righteous shines brightly, verse 9, but the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out. Dishonest money dwindles away. In other words, you get money by being dishonest, you'll end up losing it. But look at verse 11, second part. But he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Dishonest money? Trying to rip people off in order to get ahead? Trying to deceive people? Doing deals that are crooked? You lose it. Verse 12 and verse 19 both talk about the same thing. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Look at verse 19. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul. Have you ever wanted something for a long time and then God brings that to you? It's like, oh, this is what I long for. This is what, when God gives you the fulfillment of the desire that he puts in your heart, it is like medicine. Don't feel like in order to be spiritual, you can't have any desires. In order to be spiritual, there can't be any, you know, what is it you want? I just want whatever the will of God is. Well, that's good, but what kind of desires has God put in your heart? I don't think I'm supposed to have any desires. Yes, you are. He gives you the desires of your heart. So what has he wired you for? What do you get excited about? What lights you up? What would you do for free if you had the opportunity? There are things that God wants you to desire. And that desire, when it's fulfilled, it's a tree of life. Look at verse 16. Every prudent man acts out of knowledge, but a fool exposes his folly. Every prudent man, that is a wise man, acts out of knowledge. In other words, you do what you know is right, but a fool exposes his folly. It becomes clear that what he's doing is foolishness. Verse 18, he who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. What's the contrast between one who ignores discipline and one who heeds correction? Do you receive correction when somebody says, hey, let me show you how you're supposed to do that? You say, I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone, I can do this. Or do you say, oh, thank you. I'm 61 years old. I'm a reasonably intelligent person. I have a pretty good education. I'm still learning. Okay? So don't be afraid to admit that you have some stuff still to learn. Right? How many of you would agree that you have some things still left to learn? Okay, so if you ignore discipline, you'll come to poverty and shame. But if you heed correction, if you receive instruction, you'll be honored. Which would you rather, poverty and shame or honor? Okay. Well, good. Honor. That's what you want. You want to do the right thing, right? So receive correction. We already said verse 20 is our key verse. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Some people delight in being around people who are worse behaved than they are because by comparison, I'm the good guy. That's foolish. Don't do that. If you're buying a house in a neighborhood, don't buy the most expensive house. The value of the other houses will pull yours down. But if you buy the least expensive house in the neighborhood, everything you invest in fixing it up will pull up the value of your home because you're surrounded by others that are ahead of you. If you're going to play a pickup game of basketball, do you want to play with a bunch of people that you can dunk on? But if instead you get out there and you play basketball with people who are better than you, and bigger than you, what's going to happen to your game? I never get to shoot with them. You're getting better all the time. Hang out with folks who are further down the road than you are. Spend time with people who know more than you. Walk with the wise, and you'll become wise. They make me feel stupid. But they're going to make you smart. They're going to make you smart. Look at verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That's his grandchildren, in case you can't do the math. But a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. What it's saying is, you want to leave blessing for others. The way to do that is to do the right thing, to be the good man, to walk in righteousness, to tell the truth, to work with diligence, not try and get rich overnight, but instead, little by little by little, saving, spending less than you take in. Okay? We cannot ignore verse 23. A poor man's field may produce abundant food, but injustice sweeps it away. That is not to say that the only reason for poverty is injustice. As we've seen elsewhere, sometimes the reason for poverty is because of laziness. Sometimes the reason for poverty is because the person was trying to get rich quick. Sometimes the reason for poverty is because the person's simply living a foolish lifestyle. But sometimes the reason for poverty is because of injustice. And the Bible tells us we not only need to recognize the reality of injustice, but we need to stand against it. We need to be an advocate for the oppressed. Verse 24, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Someday some of you may have children. If you do, you need to love them. If you love them, you will invest the time and energy needed to correct and discipline them. Not just let them grow up like weeds doing whatever comes naturally. You have got to invest time and effort in disciplining the children. Don't expect them to know what to do. Your job as a parent is to train them. Verse 25. This is a great verse. The righteous eat to their heart's content. Would you hear that? This says the righteous are able to eat to their heart's content. Now, it doesn't say the righteous eat like a pig. Okay? That's not what it says. It says they eat to their heart's content. They're able to have enough, and then they're done. But the stomach of the wicked goes hungry. Wow, so that's saying it's wicked to diet. No. It's saying that if you walk in righteousness, you will have enough. And if you live a wicked life, you will suffer for it. You will end up empty. That's what it's saying. The ways of God, walking in wisdom, does not produce a miserable life where you're always going around saying, boy, I wish I could do that, but I can't because I'm a good person.
I wish I could do that, but I really mustn't, because that wouldn't be pleasing to God. Oh, and I wish I could do that, but oh, God says no. That's not the life of wisdom. Instead, if you walk in wisdom, you want to do what pleases God. Okay? I don't drive past a bank thinking, man, I wish I could rob that place. You know, no, I don't. If you set your heart on pleasing God, you're not going to walk around with an empty stomach saying, oh, I just wish I could do what I really want to do. You're going to be doing what you really want to do, which is pleasing God. You're going to have a life of joy. You're going to eat to your heart's content. God's going to meet your needs. He promises he will, and he does. It doesn't mean you never have a disappointment, but it means in the end, your hopes are fulfilled, and it's like a tree of life. But if you say, no, I don't care what God says, I want to do what I want to do right now, you will end up empty. Those are your options. Walk with the wise.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.